entitled The clouds swirled in the early spring evening air. On this highest part of the island, you're above the low clouds. There is a weather system all its own here. From the bright sunshine of Weymouth to the moisture-laden air up here. A group of yew trees near the ivy-covered lich gate swayed in a strong breeze. The breeze didn't bother Agnes Draper, of course. She sat on a large chunk of Portland stone and stuffed her pipe with tobacco. The same pipe she'd owned all these years, and even, mysteriously enough, the same tobacco. She's the oldest resident of St. George's, as well as being the longest-lived resident on the island. 102 she'd been when she died, and now she'd been part of this community for over 200 years. It was a long time not to be able to light your pipe and smoke it. The long grass around the broken gravestone swished and swirled, dancing with patterns. Agnes loved that sound. She felt it settled her soul. A middle-aged fat man in shiny lycra turned at the gate near her and started huffing and puffing his way back from the direction he'd come. She wanted to say, "Watch out, mate. That running will end you up here with us lot in no time." But the man could only see the clouds around him and not the ghosts. Dylan Fergus, 1842, beloved husband, and Bernard White, 1846, in loving memory, drifted towards her and sat down on the grave near the wall covered with that new-fangled melted green glass and the sycamore sprouting up, whose roots had delved into and disrupted several graves already. Best friends in life and still together, arguing as always. "That's not right, Bernie. 'Twarn't the 2nd of April that had our Mary done for, 'twas the 1st. Bernie countered as he always did. Agnes was sure it was mostly to prolong each and every conversation. "Nay, nay, we've had this talk every year, Dill. All Fool's Day was the first try that them buggers come up, and they took our Ned on their ship. Remember, Agnes? And as I says to you both every year, I weren't there. 'Twas after my time, you silly asses." Agnes chewed on the white clay stem of her pipe. "I remember it clear as if it were yesterday," continued Bernie, wrapping his rough-knitted scarf tight around his neck. Dylan slapped his own forehead in exasperation and muttered something about over 200 years having passed, but it was obvious to Agnes that they both just loved the retelling of the story. "They came up on All Fool's Day and barged in Ned's door. His wife, remember her, Violet, god-awful bossy woman, she threw her old jug of milk on their bastard blue navy uniforms and tried to beat them with her broom." He paused in the gathering gloom. Mostly for effect, Agnes thought, because she could see others drifting over to hear the tale once more. And he did love an audience, did Bernie. "They got our Ned on their ship, and then they found he was exempt. Of course, he ran the Slippery Weasel, lovely vessel that. Always had a good catch, he did." Bernie ran his fingers through his thick white beard, distracted for a moment by some memory or other. But the crowd had gathered now, and he didn't want to lose them. "So, captains were automatically exempt. But we was all exempt on the island. 'Twas that mayor over on Weymouth who signed the document, saying they was allowed to have a go at us. Proper procedure is that you have a magistrate sign. But there you go." For a moment, Bernie let the statement hang in the air. He was clearly proud of himself, with all his knowledge of law and big words like procedure and automatically. Aye, money slipped here and there, all them higher-ups thinking we don't matter, of course." Dylan was clearly about to start on a political rant again, as he stood up on a fallen gravestone and pulled the corners of his old waistcoat down over his large stomach. But a noise behind them disturbed his flow. The ghosts all turned towards the sound of the creaking old door as the volunteer came out of the church. The lady with the blue-rinsed hair and the incontinent corgi. She locked the door and looked around the graveyard before closing and locking the lich gate carefully. The corgi barked at the ghosts as usual, and the lady hushed him. "Not now, Freddy. You seeing ghosts again? It's just the clouds." They walked off down the road, and the clouds soon engulfed them as a smattering of rain fell. "Get on with the story," shouted a ghost from the back. It was Rosie Best, 1903, always loved, never forgotten, and a few other ghosts sniggered and cheered. The rain did its smatters, and the wind did its whistles, and the cloud billowed around them like chimney smoke, but none of this worried the gathered crowd. Bernie was glad to have the spotlight back on him. He frowned momentarily at the noise of Agnes chewing the end of her pipe with her wooden teeth. She huffed and put the pipe back in her pocket. Righto. So, they came back the next day. It was the 2nd of April, year of our Lord, 1803. They got a couple of our lads, and word had got round the island that there was a big to-do in the square at Easton. My, we was a big crowd, bundling down there as fast as we could. We made a rush on them toffs. I had a musket. Bernie paused, clearly proud of himself for this statement. So did I, said Dylan. We got him off that wreck all washed up a few years before, didn't we, Bern?
We did, confirmed Bernie, and nodded wisely.
He continued. So they got our Rob, remembering Dill, Rob Bennett, married to that daft Elsie who pulled pints in the Royal Oak. Dylan nodded. We rushed them, all as one, a big crowd of us. And that bastard Captain Wolf of theirs took a shot at us. First shot killed our Alex, stone dead. Straight in the head it was. He paused for effect, his grubby finger tapping the centre of his forehead. There weren't many ghosts who hadn't heard this story hundreds of times, but a good story well told is worth more than gold in the dead community. Then all hell and fire broke loose, said Bernie, gathering pace. The old fucking lot of them started shooting, and Richie Flan was it. He took 6 hours to pop his clogs, he did.
It was 7 hours, said a voice from the back.
Oh, hello, Richie. Didn't see you there, mate, said Bernie. Nasty, that. Very sorry for you. We all was. Then William Lano got it, and at the same time as our Will was young Mary Way. Now, bless her heart, she took 8 weeks to go. 'Twas the most awful thing to see that young lass die that way. 21 she was, in mad love with our Dill here. And I with her, said Dylan, and blew his nose into an old grey piece of cloth he was using as a hanky, while surreptitiously looking around from under his scraggy eyebrows to check that his wife wasn't amongst the crowd that night. Thing is, we never got justice. Never did. Them bastard officers stood trial at Dorchester Assizes just a couple of days later, and they was all acquitted. Never write that. Never sit well with me. We was entitled to justice. By the 10th of April, they was all back on board and off to pester some other poor town. Aye, said Dylan. More money changing hands between them toffs and they get away with what they fucking well like. The wind shifted direction and the clouds cleared quickly. The starry sky above the graveyard brought colder air around them, and there was some shuffling as everyone wondered whether things would kick off again this year into another ghostly fight. Agnes took her pipe back out of her pocket and re-stuffed the same tobacco. You know, she said, as the crowd of ghosts drifted round expectantly, I sometimes wonder if we ain't here for a reason. The crowd stopped their restless floating for a moment and focused their attention back on Agnes, instead of casting provocative glances over to the other side of the graveyard. Most years, after the story of the press gang of 1803, the old islanders' side of the graveyard started yelling at the toff's side of the graveyard, and the fight that ensued had become a much-looked-forward-to event. No one could get hurt, of course, but the bitterness was allowed an airing, and those who'd not been around at the time had scores that needed settling too. Agnes chewed her pipe. It's just that we don't have no children here, do we? Plenty of stones for 'em, but none of them stuck around for hundreds of years like us lot. And where is Mary Way, or what died in that nasty tale? She ain't here. Now, from what Dylan says, she was a kindly and forgiving sort. I'm just saying,
I was wondering if we're still here because we feel entitled to something, like Bernie says. A voice from the middle of the crowd piped up. It was Ethel Saunders, 1969, now with God. What about you, Agnes? You've been here the longest.
Well, it's obvious, said Agnes. That father of mine built this church, and I was entitled to a spot near the front door, and one of them angels on a tall column. But he wouldn't marry my mother, and she got cast out of his service, thrown out from the big house, and I got put in the corner here.
The crowd shuffled awkwardly, each one clearly examining their own life and their own thoughts. What were they entitled to exactly? For the posh side of the graveyard, it was obvious why that was so crowded. All of them knobs, as Bernie called them, felt entitled. But this side of the church were good down-to-earth folk, mostly.
We're entitled to our resentments, shouted Corporal John Smythe. 1943, your country thanks you.
Aye, aye, chorused the ghosts. And the moon rose in the starry sky above them and showed the crumpled heaps of lichen-covered stones and the weeds and hundreds of years of human entitlement to God only knows what. Agnes Draper smiled to herself and stuffed her pipe. Thank goodness, she thought, it would be awful to feel entitled and miserable on your own.